Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, and it is a joy to join with you today to talk about spiritual leadership and specifically to talk about the subject of church planting. And today I am in San Leandro, California with my dear friend, Pastor Alan Fong, and we have seen God do great things here in this place. We're going to talk about Heritage Baptist Church a little bit later, but first I'd like you to meet two young men that are with us for today's podcast, James Kim and Robbie Yap, and these men have been called of God to start churches in California. And James, why don't we start with you and introduce yourself and tell us where God's leading you.
So, my name is James Kim, and I'm a 2011 graduate of West Coast, and currently I'm serving as a Korean pastor in Lighthouse Baptist Church in Theodore, Alabama. And recently the Lord has called our family to plant a church in Southern California, especially in the city of Irvine. And we just started raising support, and we hope to be in the state of California by August and plant the church next year. So very excited about it.
James, before we go to the next person here, I want to ask you to refresh my memory. I believe you were raised in a missionary's home in Australia. Your father was a missionary from South Korea to Australia. Is that correct?
That is correct. Grew up on the mission field of Australia in Sydney, where my parents were church planting missionaries in Australia.
And now God's going to allow you to plant a church in California. And we're excited to see God use you there in the city of Irvine. And thank you for sharing time on this podcast with us. Robbie, why don't you go next here and take that microphone and tell us a little bit about where you're serving and what the burden is on your heart.
As Pastor said, my name is Robbie Yap. I'm serving currently in the city of Gardena with Pastor Timothy Choi. Pastor Choi's been there for 36 years, and I've been able to learn from him these past 5 years being there. I've been working with the youth department mainly. The Lord's burden our family and burden my heart for the city of Hawthorne. We actually have been living in Hawthorne ever since we moved to L.A., and there's just a great need there. So many people who've never heard the gospel, a lot of gated communities, people, we can't just even go and knock on the door because we can't get into the buildings. And so there's a tremendous opportunity, tremendous need there in that city of Hawthorne, about 89,000 people, and a majority of them never have even heard the gospel.
And earlier today, you were telling us about maybe 12 cities right around you. And most of them not having any Baptist or soul winning type church, and about 500,000 people within how many minutes of where you'd like to start?
If I were to drive probably 7 minutes in any direction.
About half a million people. Amazing. And we're excited that God has called you guys to come to the state of California, to come to Orange and LA County and plant churches. And I know Brother Fong, we're excited to help them. And so let's have Brother Fong take that microphone there. And of course, Pastor Alan Fong is a tremendous blessing to me. He also serves as the chairman of the board of West Coast Baptist College. And you know, Brother Fong, when I come up here to Heritage Baptist Church, and I remember when the work started, before God gave you the property, and then preaching those early services in that first building on the corner here, and now seeing these, you know, multi-million dollar buildings, and more than that, seeing that auditorium filled with people that have been saved here. A lot of people have different ideas about church planning, but they forget that it really does boil down to soul winning, discipling, preaching, and the work of the ministry. Yes, and if you wouldn't mind, just take a moment or two as we get this podcast started today, and familiarize our pastor friends, and there's 2,000 or 3,000 who receive this, and share with them a little bit of the story of what God has done here.
Yes, sir. Well, first, I want to thank you, Pastor Chapel, for your investment in my life and in the life of Heritage Baptist Church for 24 years. Heritage Baptist Church represents what we believe to be a biblical church start, a biblical church plant. It started with vision, faith, a lot of hard work, a lot of prayer, a lot of trials. But the thing we've tried to keep center most more than anything else is the winning of souls. And as soon as they get one to Christ, get them to disciple. Matthew 28:19 is our mission statement for church planting. We're to go and teach or make disciples of all nations, of every ethnic group. It doesn't matter what the language is. We're to go and reach after people. Mm-hmm. And so the heart of Heritage Baptist Church, we looked at the model of Lancaster Baptist Church for all these years. It stayed faithful to soul winning, the preaching of God's word. We decided that's the kind of model we need to be. We may do things a little bit differently because of our area, but we've stayed true to the stuff. And as churches are declining and churches are closing, we're thankful that God is adding to his church, has continued to grow. And we're thankful for our humble beginnings that we started with nothing, and the Lord has blessed us with buildings and land and a great future, we believe, for the glory of God.
You know, we were having an ordination council Wednesday night with a young man who was saved at our church. He came up here to Berkeley and spent a year in your church. And during that time, God called him to preach. And now he's a missionary in Africa. And it's amazing to me what God does, how time flies. But it's in the heartbeat of a soul-winning church with a passionate pastor that those things happen. You know, someone can look up and say, that is awesome. I want to do that. And when it comes to church planting, you know, I always come back to Acts 13. And as we think about what took place there at the church at Antioch, there was this, what we might call a multicultural congregation. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. And I really believe that the missions movement as we know it began in that local church at Antioch, that local churches send the missionaries.
Yes.
And we have started a kind of a loosely knit initiative called California for Christ, which is really just a way to get preachers together to give some money to help guys like you get started. But we know that the local church is how you got started. You worked through a local church. It's how Heritage was started. But I also like to say there were certain kinds of local churches that really get involved. And when you look at this, they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Amen. I think it's a church that's really focused on God.
Amen.
That gets the heart of God for lost souls. And I know it's a broad statement, but so many churches are self-focused. Almost every pastor I speak to says, pray that our church doesn't grow inward. I fight that now for our church.
Right.
We have nice facilities, a school, we have all these programs. It would be very easy to get and to be content. And Brother Fong, I know for you, you were a very successful businessman when I first met you. You were coming alongside of me saying, how can we help West Coast? And then it was a joy to come alongside of you in the starting of this church. But would you take a minute and talk about just this concept of ministering to the Lord, fasting? And even as these men shared their vision today, it was obvious to me, God is in this. God called them to plant churches. And talk about what you went through to yield yourself to become a church planter.
Yes, sir. Well, I think I knew for a long time that the Lord was working my heart. It wasn't until the church was at a place where our founding pastor made the decision he wanted to go back to the mission field that he and I had a very frank discussion about him wanting to have the church call me to be the pastor, and I shared some things from my heart. Very first phone call I made after spending some time in prayer was to Pastor Chappell and asking him for counsel. And amazingly, Pastor Chappell said, I'm not surprised. And he said, whatever you need help with, I'll be there to help you. Church called me to be the full-time pastor in November 2004. And I still get asked today, they said, where'd you get your training? And I say, by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And Pastor came with a number of other good men who helped do my ordination service. And the week following my ordination service, my wife got diagnosed with cancer. And she's had cancer, bouts with it three different total times in the first 7-8 years of our ministry there. And to be quite honest, I think the Lord knew that there were just some things he needed to purge out of our lives and get us ready for. And I had been encouraged by some men, maybe you probably should step out the pulpit to take care of your wife. And that wasn't how God was leading us. God wanted me to get more into the pulpit more than anything else. And God grew us through that. But I think through all this, as we've watched changes happen, we've just tried to stay faithful to what the Bible says. I will tell you right now, our handbook, our manual that is unchangeable for building a church is the Word of God.
Amen.
Everything we need to build a church is in God's Word. God's Word is relevant. God's Word is unchangeable. It doesn't matter if times change, people change. God never changes. The power of God is still the same.
Amen.
And we try to exercise faith best we can. And just like everyone else, you take one step forward, two steps back, sometimes two steps forward, one step back, but it's all to the glory of God.
It really is. And thank you for sharing the trials too, because again, if any man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And we see a lot of marketing approaches to church planning, a lot of creating a culture on the websites and all of this. And websites are going to be important. And getting your facilities as nice as you can, that's all important, but nothing replaces that calm. And I was just telling one of the church planters downstairs, I said, look, don't think you can only call me when the numbers are up or things are going good. You know, we have to be able to be transparent to help each other through those seasons. And I know James, and as you guys are working towards Orange County, you're going to have probably a need to raise some support. That's a pretty affluent area there. Do you have any idea what kind of facility you're looking for as far as renting?
This week is going to be, this coming week will be part of our survey trip going down to the city of Irvine, and we have a meeting with the mayor's office, and we are trying to get into the community as quickly as we can. But I would like to look for facilities as the Lord leads. Frankly, starting anywhere, we want to start somewhere that is visible and has a good presence. But I believe that the most important thing in getting preparation for that is being out in the community, sharing the gospel, and making mm-hmm. those connections. And I believe that the Lord will provide us with a perfect Amen. Place in His will.
You know, I found when we were beginning the work in Lancaster that every person I met was a soul winning opportunity. Yeah. And I remember one time, the very first Sunday night, in fact, they said, you need to deposit the offering. And I thought, what? Because everything I was trained in Bible college, pastors don't handle money, right? Which I don't handle money. But that night I was given the offering bag. I put it in the back of my trunk, and I went to deposit it the next morning. And the long story short, that's where I met one of the first ladies that got saved at our church. And the first couple times I went to the bank, the first two people kind of shut me down. I had to go back a third time because of not having filled out a form right. And that lady and her husband came the next Sunday and got saved and baptized.
Amen.
And, you know, it was just a matter of being soul conscious. And I truly believe that every step you take planting that church is going to be a soul-winning opportunity. Mm-hmm. Robbie, for you, you're going to need to find a location. You're raising some support. But have you thought about what you're going to do to allocate how much time for soul-winning, how much time for study? Have you been thinking through some of these things?
I have been thinking through that. And the benefit of having been in ministry now for the past 5 years or so, I've been able to prepare a lot of things already
Good.
For the pulpit.
Good.
And so I'll be able to spend the majority of my time knocking doors in those early days. Obviously, I have to refine some of those messages because they were geared towards youth.
Yeah.
Word of God's relevant for everyone, though. And so, but I have a lot of that prepared. So the majority of my time starting out will be feet to the pavement, hands to the wood.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll
So be. Fewer illustrations about eating worms or slime or whatever. Yeah. You're going to have to actually go and expound scripture now. Just kidding, yeah, when you said that about teenagers. But no, that's true. But it is good that you're thinking that way. And I think it's wise to have some messages prepared because, as we both know, once you get in the throes of it, you know, you're gonna have to discipline your schedule. Brother Fong, as you think about coming back to what you were talking about, some of the trials of starting the ministry, I was talking with another pastor just a minute ago, and it was a man that had worked on our staff for a while, Brother Gabe Lule, one of the dear men here in the North. And he just looked me in the eye and just said, you know, Pastor, he said, I didn't realize just the pressure of being the senior pastor. And, you know, I think for you coming out of the business world, you know, you were used to work, but there is a spiritual
Yes.
pressure. And I think with 40 million people in California, with all of the satanic activity in the culture, and then within the church, sometimes there's pressure. Talk about some things that you did in the early years to refresh your spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So that you're still at it all this time later.
I think what you read, Pastor, from Acts 13 about ministering and fasting, nothing replaces the importance of giving your best day to the Lord, walking with God. Everything we read about the old timers, you know, the E.M. Bounds and the Spurgeons and men like that, they gave their first mornings to God.
One of the things I think is critical to us is developing our prayer life and prayer Amen. Time to the place where we're not just having a prayer life, we're living in prayer, you know, praying without ceasing. So great emphasis for me was just doing that and just spending time with God, not being hasty, learning to wait on the Lord, being patient. Yeah. And at the same time, not getting sidetracked by things, but staying focused on what God's called you to do.
Amen. I do believe it's important with church planting and as you guys are strategizing to lay out that first year. I always ask church planters that ask for support, can I see your first year's calendar? And I believe you've got to have the spiritual walk in place, as Brother Fong just mentioned, and then you do need to have a plan. You mentioned a strategic plan earlier, both of you did. That calendar is going to be so important. It's a skeleton, if you will. And I was challenged by Dr. Lee Robertson to, when I was pastoring about 300 to 400, he said, I want you to start pastoring as though you're pastoring 1,000 people.
Amen.
And I remember thinking, well, you know, I'm barely pastoring 300. But he was talking about vision. And he said, so plan your missions conference, plan your revival meeting, plan your week for soul winning and study and get it all lined out. So I believe the calendar is important. I do believe having a presence on the web and you know, any free advertising that you can start is important. I also believe it's important to have those get acquainted meetings before the first Sunday, mm-hmm. where you're having numerous meetings before the main meeting, and you're kind of developing an early core that way. We know that with church planning, you attract a crowd, and then you start building a congregation. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of people, and they say the gospel light attracts a lot of strange bugs. Yeah. And so church plants tend to get a lot of interesting characters coming in. But love them all, and yet, as 2 Timothy says, train the faithful men, you know, start building that core. And as you're doing that, you're watching for those emerging leaders. Who's going to be the first Sunday school teacher? Who's going to be musically involved? And you're also considering levels of spiritual development. For example, there may be some guys, they're just struggling with certain things. Maybe they're smoking and you're not going to want them, you know, with their, you know, Marlboros in their pocket, praying up on the platform. But what can they do? Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe if they promise not to smoke, they can direct traffic or whatever. You're looking for ways to get people involved. And, you know, some church plants have the luxury of a few mature believers first, you know, to come involved and be involved first. Sometimes you don't have that, you know. And I know that there's a lot of analytics that way that goes into the new work. And I do believe, Brother Fong, that in the early days, it's important for a church planter to determine, what are the ancient landmarks of this church?
Yes, sir.
You know, the Bible says, remove not the ancient landmarks. Too many church planters, in my opinion, are just kind of have this accommodating theology. I was challenging one of our recent church planters, my son-in-law, Peter, the other day. And I said, Peter, you know, get those ancient landmarks down because that pragmatic spirit will come. I remember a family that was kind of wealthy. They were coming to the church. I needed an organist or a pianist in the music ministry. They were not Baptist people, and they were not in agreement with a particular part of our doctrinal statement dealing with baptism, and so they wouldn't join. And man, I wanted her to be able to play in the music, you know, and it would have been very easy to just kind of accept them into the membership. No one would have known, but I had set some parameters down. We believe in saved, baptized membership, and we only accept members from a church of like faith and practice. So I stayed with what I had established. And I believe those decisions over time have helped us to have a church with a unibody spiritual construction.
Right.
Right. I can get up and preach on Sunday night with freedom because I'm not trying to tippy-toe through the garden. And Brother Fong, speak to that for a moment. Just the point of knowing where you are and being comfortably courageous to hold those convictions, because if they're ever going to move, it's probably the first 2 to 5 years of a pastorate.
Amen.
Talk about that, if you would.
Yes, sir. I think it's critically important as pastors, as men of God, that we are defined by our Bible and by our beliefs. And times change, people change, politics change, laws change, but we can't change because right. God's word doesn't change. And I think you need to establish those landmarks. I think you need to establish who your company of friends will be.
Yeah.
I think you need to be around men who are like-minded in the sense of winning souls and iron sharpening iron in that context, building discipleship, growing the church. Learning to be innovative without compromise.
Yes.
And I think those are important things to be done. And we're kind of in an area right now. I've got 13 cities in my county, 1.8 million people. And there may be maybe another handful of churches like us, and I thank God for them. But we've just said they know what we're all about. They don't have any question about what we believe and where we're at. And today, 24 years later, people that have seen the slippery slope that are not in churches, they're finding out about our church. They said, we appreciate your stand where you've been for 24 years. So,
amen.
You know, people, they know what's right. There's enough conscience and, you know, enough illumination and conscience in an unsaved person to know what's the right kind of church they should be in.
And I would say to that, that a church family finds assurance in a leader that is consistent.
Right.
And, you know, we hear about those that try, you know, midstream through a pastorate to change things. It's like a family that divorces. The children become very insecure. They don't feel like they really belong anymore. I think of my deacons and I think of our long-term church members, and they will tell you, Lancaster Baptist is on the same trajectory that we've always been
yes.
on. You know, sometimes people from the outside don't know us that well, but we have endeavored to provide a biblical consistency, and that consistency has built confidence. When pastors are double-minded, it affects the psyche, if you will,
that's right.
the spiritual tone of that church. So consistency truly counts. And I do think of the scriptures that say, strengthen the things that remain.
Yes.
And I really believe that's our calling, is to strengthen. And I'll tell you one thing that helped me in that area is that for some reason the Lord put on my heart to seek counsel from godly men
yes.
who had been in the ministry a while. You know, those early years I had Dr. Malone, Dr. Robertson, Bobby Robertson. And those men would come in and they would hammer down what I was trying to do. And that would keep us taut as a tent, you know. And that's not to say, now, at my age, I find myself listening to guys your age, you know. And I actually say to younger pastors, you know, tell me what's going on out there. I mean, I don't understand TikTok. I don't understand, you know, a lot of the social media issues. But I want to, you know, and I want to be an effective communicator. But when I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s, I was wanting to hear from those men who'd been down the road. And frankly, I still do, mm-hmm. you know. And I want to strengthen the things that remain. And so I would say, let the church planning culture be multi-generational with yes. respect to pastoral yes. fellowship.
Yes.
And Brother Fong, if you would take a minute, explain to our Spiritual Leadership Podcast audience just the Bay Area. I don't think people understand it. I sat next to a guy on the plane yesterday who works in the cannabis industry. He smelled of cannabis. We led him to Christ. Pastor Rossi was sitting next to me, led him to Christ. I got off the plane, you know, just what I saw, the clientele in the airport was, it's not Kansas, I'll tell you that. And I know there's probably neighborhoods in Kansas, but my point is, last night we had dinner in Oakland, we come out of the restaurant, I didn't need to buy marijuana, you just inhaled, it was everywhere. You know, in a culture like that, how are you building a church on preaching? You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be telling stories about the latest movies and the lesson you learned. So talk to us about this culture and how the gospel penetrates it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking that, Pastor. Well, first of all, the Bay Area, I best describe it, is the place where Satan's seat is. It's the place of liberal politics. It's the place of humanism. It's a place of great financial affluence, multi-million dollar homes. It's also a place where there's incredible ethnic diversity, and the world is coming to this area just like LA County. And so the old-fashioned way that we've always done ministry, which our Lord Jesus Christ taught, is you got to love people. And as a pastor, you're going to be the pastor. You have to love people.
Right.
You have to love all people.
Right.
And they may not love you at first, but they need to know you love them. Because ultimately, as they go through their hurts and their rejections, they're going to realize there's a church there, there's a pastor there, and a people that love us.
Definitely.
And we're in a race. Pastor, you've been doing this for almost 40 years at Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm here at 24. And I just learned this, we're in a long distance race and long distance runners don't quit. They
Amen.
Go in, even if they hurt.
Good.
And while our eyes are not on ourselves, we're not inward looking, as you mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
but we're not looking at the circumstances, we're looking at Jesus. And if we got eyes on Jesus, I think we'll finish that race faithfully.
Amen.
But we're not finishing the race for us, we're finishing the race because there's a job to be done for Jesus.
Amen.
That's right. And I was thinking as we walked through Oakland a bit last night and just as I drove here this morning, if you're going to be a true Bible preacher, and we're watching, you know, the Andy Stanleys of the world, you know, baptizing active practicing homosexuals and letting them be members. So I don't consider that a true biblical ministry. I don't think many, many Christians today, conservative Christians, do. So if you're going to believe this book and preach this book, you're going to be scorned in the Bay Area.
Yes, sir.
And you men know that. You know, there's going to be a scornful attitude. And I don't like that. I mean, I kind of grew up during the moral majority era, and I kind of believed in it. You know, and maybe it was then. You know, I don't know if it ever was, but it certainly isn't now.
No.
And yet, if God be for us, who can be against
us? Amen.
And I remember I did not plant, I replanted a church. I went to a church of 12. But I remember going into Alpha Beta grocery store with a pocket full of tracts and just believing somebody in there needed to be saved. Yeah. And I believed that everybody needed to know about the Lord and about our church, and that I was on the winning side.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes the devil wants to tell you otherwise. But I think the message that I want to give to church planters is, you're the cutting edge of what's going to happen in our nation in these upcoming years, and you're greatly needed. And I really believe today that we need to pray for the major cities to have a revival of church planting.
Yes.
We have started California for Christ. It's small right now. I think we have $80,000 in the bank account, and these are the first two men that are going to be starting churches. We want to give them grants. They're going out of their own local churches. They're raising support from local churches. We're not a denomination. We're just kind of a gathering point to try to help some men. But would you pray for California? And somebody watching this right now, would you pray about moving to this state of 40 million people that has dozens of cities of over 100,000 without an independent Baptist church? And I'm telling you what Pastor Fong has done here in the Bay Area, I know of no denomination that's done it. I know of no other independent Baptist that's done it. To move to a city like Oakland, to acquire several acres of property, to win hundreds and hundreds of people to the Lord, and see this church established just through soul winning. I've seen them come and go, Brother Fong, you have too, to the Bay Area. I'm telling you that if you feel like, well, you know, it just can't work, that's not for you to determine. Yeah. What you need to know is, are you where God wants you?
Amen.
And I think about cities, I know of cities in Tennessee and Texas, 200,000-300,000 people, 200-300 Baptist churches.
Right.
And thank God for those churches, by the way. I'm not minimizing that, but I'm just saying we have cities here with large populations and very little witness. And so we invite you to come visit us, call one of us, spend a week with us, let us show you around. Mm-hmm. And your eye will affect your heart.
Yes.
And so as we speak today about church planting, I just want to thank you guys for being a next generation who are stepping up. Brother Fong, we're now in the position just suddenly where we're helping men like this. And I don't want to say we're the old guys, but we're the seasoned guys, you know, and yet it's thrilling, is it
yes,
not?
Sir. Yes, sir.
You know, and we can lament all the guys that are compromising or quitting the ministry or who fell in whatever type of problem. But there's a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, sir.
And there are men raising up and being used. And so thank you for taking time with me today just to talk a little bit about church planting. And please pray for James Kim and Robbie Yap going to Southern California. Brother Fong, we're going to do our best to get some more up here to the Bay Area
as well. Yes, sir.
And until next time, thank you for joining us on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. Don't forget to stop by Striving Together Publications and check out our newest book, Resilient Life. Don't forget to plan on Spiritual Leadership Conference coming up the last weekend of September. We're excited about what God's going to do. Look forward to seeing you next month.